This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome back to another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. John Kirby and I are going to get you all ready for homecoming weekend. The Jayhawks play host to the Texas Tech Red Raiders in a Big 12 matchup this Saturday afternoon. Football is back after the bye week. We've got homecoming, like we say, Texas Tech's coming on. We're going to do everything we can to get you ready for the game, as well as talk some recruiting and get into a little bit about transfer portal and some names potentially that could be targets for Lance Leipold and his staff. Before we get into all that, let me go ahead and introduce my man, my partner, the publisher of JayhawkSlant.com and the authority on Kansas football and the KU football beat, Mr. John Kirby. John, first, probably the most important question. What did you do with all your spare time last weekend?
Man, I sat on my butt and watched football. you know, it's I love covering KU football. But you know what? The weekend off was nice. You get a chance to sit around and watch some other games, watch some Big 12 stuff. You know, you don't have as many responsibilities to cover a game, do the pregame, and then all the postgame write-ups and everything like that. So it was a good time. You know, watch a little NFL on Sunday. My son's birthday was last week, so we got him tickets to the Bills game. So he went out there with a couple friends and sat in that fun rainstorm Sunday night. So, yeah, it was good.
That was quite an experience. I was out there. That was something Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's only been to two Chiefs games, so I think that was to have that one as your second one, that was kind of a awakening of what it can be like sitting through some weather in an NFL game. But, hey, it was all good, man. It was, casual, easy-going weekend. What about yourself? What'd you do?
You know, I got a chance, like you said, I got a chance to watch some other games. Watched Penn State and Iowa. Man, that was just a hell of a football game.
Loved
watching that and getting a chance to see the Hawkeyes and a couple guys from here in Kansas City and Mason Richmond from Blue Valley and Arlen Bruce from Olathe North make plays and that big win for Iowa. And then maybe the best game so far of the college football season, seeing A&M take down Alabama in the main event in the evening. It was a great weekend of football, aside from that debacle on Sunday night against the Bills.
Yeah, you know, you talked about Iowa, Penn State. Man, I'll tell you, I watched that game. You hate to see a game decided. You know, Penn State's kind of in control. To me, they look like the better team. Then their quarterback gets hurt. And you hate to see a team lose when they're not full strength, you know? And I think if Penn State's quarterback plays, that's probably a different game.
I think you're probably right. I mean, Penn State looked fantastic. And what you saw, you know, a lot of people talk about it. Kinnick is one of the toughest places to play in the entire country. And that crowd played a central role in that defense, finding its footing, getting an opportunity, forcing some turnovers, and making plays against a very good but obviously significantly depleted Nittany Lion offense. And I'm telling you, just the crowd up there, watching the way they get into it, you know, when they wave to all the – when they turn and wave at the Children's Hospital and everything. I mean, that place, I would love to see a game up there someday. It looks like just a phenomenal setting for football. Well, now that we've talked a little bit about other teams that probably nobody else actually cares about, let's get into the Jayhawks, talk some Kansas football. We've got Texas Tech coming to town this Saturday for homecoming. It's the first real homecoming celebration the Jayhawks have had since 2019. So, getting back to a little bit more of normal life as we continue to adjust after COVID and or towards the end of COVID, hopefully. We're going to move right to the studio line right now, where John Kirby is joined by Aaron Dickens, who covers Texas Tech for the website RedRaiderSports.com.
I am joined by my longtime friend and coworker Aaron Dickens with the RedRaiderSports.com on the Rivals Network. Aaron, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, John. Always great to chat with you.
Absolutely. Well, we got a game this weekend, Texas Tech and Kansas, and before we get into that, I want to ask you, I was browsing your guys' message board, just reading through some posts, going back over through some things, and I'll tell you, the tone that I definitely saw from the fans are there is some heat on the coaching staff. Just talk about that, and am I reading that right?
No, you're absolutely reading that right, and I think it's more than just fans. I mean, I think there's legitimate heat on Matt Wells and his coaching staff. I mean, back-to-back four-win seasons. And, you know, they're 4-2, but the two losses in Austin to Texas and TCU this past weekend at home, just not competitive. I mean, it was 28-7 very early in the second quarter on Saturday, and it was just the life was sucked out of the stadium, and you just never had a chance. And this has been a fan base that has, you know, never really fully bought into Matt Wells. It was a very controversial hire at the time. I mean, at that point, 2018, Dana Holgorsen was available. And, of course, he coached at Tech under Mike Leach. Neil Brown, who also coached at Tech before, was available. Seth Luttrell was available and a hot name at the time out of North Texas, although that's
sure
kind of gone the opposite direction. And Kirby Hokut hires Matt Wells. And, you know, 4-8 in year one, which included a loss to Kansas and Lawrence in overtime. And, you know, this has been a situation where Matt Wells and his coaching staff in this program have really needed to kind of build some equity up with this fan base. And this past Saturday was a great chance to do that, to maybe get to 5-1. They were only about a 2-point underdog. So Vegas thought this was kind of an evenly matched game. And then they just go out and completely lay an egg. And, you know, you have narrow wins over Stephen F. Austin, where the Lumberjacks were throwing into the end zone about a minute left to go to maybe win that game. They almost lose to Houston Baptist last year. You know, this coaching staff needs wins, and I don't know that even 6 wins would do it. In fact, I would say probably these next 2 weeks, a very critical window for Matt Wells and this Texas Tech program.
Wow, interesting. Well, you know, I know Texas Tech is on the backup quarterback. You know, just tell me a little bit about him. Break down the offense. You know, what's their scheme and who are their players to watch there?
Henry Columbia, yeah, and that seems like, you know, it really feels like Groundhog Day, I think, if you're a Texas Tech fan. Because, you know, you go back to 2016 when Cliff was the coach, and it seems like every year it's, you know, coach is on the hot seat and there's a quarterback hurt. And you had that in 2017, 2018, 2019, and, of course, the last couple of years. Columbia is a transfer from Utah State. He filled in for Alan Bowman last year when Bowman got dinged up and was eventually benched for poor performance. He's not going to wow you with measurables. He does not have a super strong arm. He can get it there, but it's not, you know, impressive. He knows the offense. He's pretty steady. He can move around a little bit. He'll run if he needs to. I don't think you'll see him on many called runs, but he can scoot. I think pocket presence is okay. You know, just kind of a solid but unremarkable quarterback. He hasn't been a reason why you've lost since Tyler Shuck went down with an injury in Austin. He's also really not been the reason why you won in Morgantown. You know, he's net neutral, I think, if you're Texas Tech. Offensively, year one under new coordinator Sonny Cumbie, of course, former Tech quarterback. You know, it's spread, right? They'll hit you with tempo sometimes. They'll slow it down. I think that they like to be really ground-oriented. I think you don't see them go away from that as much as maybe David Yost did the last 2 years or Cliff Kingsbury did during his time. But they're not like an exceptional running team. Part of that is because they've been dealing with some injuries at that position. Stryder Thompson didn't play in the first few games. He was their starter last year. He's back, working his way back toward kind of being a full go. Taj Brooks, who impressed in the first couple weeks of the season, dealing with a nagging injury, may or may not be back for Saturday. I think Eric Ezukama is probably the best player on the offense, wide receiver, number 13, all Big 12 selection last year, and probably a future NFL player at some point. He is the margin for error guy of this offense. He can take a 10-yard, 11-yard pass, break a tackle, and take it the distance. If Tech is going to, break any game open, it will probably be because he takes some of those passes and turns them into long gainers. And then tight ends also, I think, a focus of this offense. You have two, Travis Coons and Mason Tharp. Tharp, a true freshman, just kind of getting his feet wet now. I think down the line could be a real matchup problem. 6'9", can run, wow, has good hands. Probably asking too much for him to be like a major impact in this game. He had a couple of nice catches against TCU. But down the line, I think look for Mason Tharp to be a pretty good Big 12 player.
So, Aaron, before I ask you about the defense, when you talk about backup quarterbacks in Texas Tech, I'll still never forget the year, and I'll be honest with you, I can't remember what year it was. KU knocks Patrick Mahomes out of the game, and it's competitive. I mean, it's like a one-score game in the third quarter, and you're thinking, okay, there you go. That's the break you needed, right? And this backup kid, I think he was from Iowa, comes in, and I mean just absolutely torches KU defense. He looks better than Mahomes did. I'll never forget that when you talk about all the backup quarterbacks at Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's Nick Szymanek. That was 2016. I think that was like a Thursday night game, too, if I'm remembering correctly. Szymanek would go on to start the next year, 2017. And now he's like a trainer slash like confidant of like Machine Gun Kelly. So if you like peruse like wire photos of Machine Gun Kelly at like red carpet settings and conferences and stuff, it's not unusual to see former Tech quarterback Nick Szymanek in the background hanging out.
Wow, that's a good one.
There's your random bit of Texas Tech trivia, John.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, moving over the defense, I know there's been some struggles like you've talked about in some games, but, they've also had some decent games there. Just talk about what they want to do defensively and maybe some guys to watch.
I think Keith Patterson likes to, he likes pressure. He likes trying to confuse opposing quarterbacks. He likes the chess match element of, running defense and being a coordinator. The bottom line is they're big people. They don't have enough of them, and they're not maybe good enough to do that kind of thing with defense. It was just an embarrassing kind of Keystone Cops-esque performance 2 weeks ago in Austin. It was equally as bad this past Saturday in Lubbock. Wide open. Just nobody outnumbered in the box. And I realize you can't just put everybody there because it was give up easy completions, but it just wasn't even a fight. Like, it was just not competitive. The first play of the game, I think, went for 25 yards, and that pretty much encapsulated the rest of the evening for this Tech defense. Now, they did have a good showing against, West Virginia and Morgantown, and they were really good against Houston's running game, too. But it's a problem. They have lost two of their, three top safeties, Muddy Waters, Reggie Pearson, both transfers. Both were pretty good against the run. So that has certainly played into it. But they've got some dudes at linebacker. They have some okay bodies up front. They shouldn't be this bad. There have been talk about, hey, we're going to simplify things, calm things down, or we're not going to play as many players, but now this is two times in the last three games where you've just kind of no-showed and just, given up 600, 700 rushing yards, and that's just not good enough.
All right, Aaron, last question, man. These two teams have kind of played some weird games over the recent years, Just give me your take on this one. How do you think it might play out?
Yeah, I think it'll be another close one. And I think, the last 2 years, very close fourth quarter games. You think about 2012, that game goes into overtime. There was a game, I'm blanking on the year. It was in Lawrence, and it was like a 7-point game or so. I think it was decided on a defensive touchdown or something. And so, yeah, for whatever reason, whenever these two teams get together, it's a classic. It's a thriller. And so I expect nothing less. You know, I think Kansas coming off of a bye week, they watch film. They'll see that those holes are there in the run game. You know, Leipold is a championship level coach, right? You don't get there by accident. And so I would guess they'll put Tech on their toes, and Tech will have to respond, and we'll see if they can.
Well, Aaron Mann, as always, I really appreciate you joining us, and we'll definitely catch up soon.
All right. Take care, John.
Kirby, that was very interesting. Your first question about Wells, and he seems to be under some heat already.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's already, but yeah, just listening to Aaron talk there, it sounds like the buzzards are starting to swarm. I thought the most interesting thing that he said there was, six wins may not get it. So, you know, I kept thinking, you know, if they can go into Lawrence and beat KU, you know, there's win number five, okay? And then you just got to figure out one more win to get bowl eligible. That's what I was thinking, you know, over the last week. And then listening to Aaron there, boy, it sounds like some things are cooking in Lubbock, that's for sure.
You know, you wonder about a program like that, though. I mean, the question becomes just what is your ceiling, you know? And obviously, I mean, people know about they've really got some big commitments in regards to financial support, to expanding facilities. You know, I think Patrick Mahomes is probably going to make a sizable donation. The Red Raiders advertise at Arrowhead now every Sunday. There's a lot going on in regards to support for the program. But I mean, it makes you wonder just how big they can get when they make a mistake where they run off a coach that may be as good as they're going to be for a while. I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about that, it'll come down to a fit. And, you know, I even posted this on the message board that, you know, one of the names that's just kind of kicked around behind the scenes is Dykes at SMU. So I think it also comes down to, you know, if they want to make a move, are there some backdoor talks going on where they know the guy they can get? And, you know, does that make them act faster knowing, hey, we can get this guy and we know this can happen. So let's go ahead and get this thing done. And there's no more reason to wait. So it'll be interesting to see. And a lot of it's going to depend on how they finish the season. So, you know, they've still got some tough games ahead of them.
Talk about tough games ahead of them. Let's talk about this game this weekend, Kirby. Give me your thoughts on the matchup with the Red Raiders and your prediction for Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, Randy, I've gone back and watched Tech. I've watched them a couple times live. I've gone back and watched some tapes on them. The games I saw them play were Houston, West Virginia, and TCU. And, you know, against Houston, they fall behind. And Houston has only lost one time, and it was to Tech. So, you know, Houston looks good early on. Then they start turning the ball over, and Texas Tech just hangs in there and comes back and wins in the second half. And then they go on the road, and they beat West Virginia, okay? And at the time, I'm thinking, this is a really good win. You go on the road in Morgantown, and you find a way to win. I don't care what year it is and what your team status is. That's a good win. And
absolutely,
West Virginia had just played Oklahoma pretty tight. Okay, mm-hmm. So at the time when you're looking at games in real time, you're going, okay, Tech now is looking a little bit better than you hoped they were. And then they turn around and go home against TCU where they're trying to get that fifth win and move to 5-1. And I watched that last weekend, and I mean, TCU just lined up and physically pushed Texas Tech around. I was a little surprised in the way that they did it and how easy they made it look. So, you know, God, Randy, I don't know what to expect. You know, Texas Tech's got a backup quarterback. I was on the Red Raiders board. I talked with this about Aaron, last week and over the weekend, and you already got people there calling for the third team quarterback because they're playing the backup right now. So, you know, you don't know what to expect from Texas Tech. Their running back is back. They look pretty good. He looks good. You know, they've got some big guys in their front seven. I talked to the KU players today. I talked to Jason Bean about it. I talked to Cable Do about it. You know, Texas Tech has some big bodies up front, and they bring some different pressure. But they can give up some points. They really can. So, you know, this will be interesting. One of the things I took talking today to the KU players is, And also listening to Leipold is talking about fresh legs and a energy and a new attitude. You know, they're coming off of a bye week, okay? So they got a chance to get healthy. And I looked at Texas Tech's schedule, and their bye week doesn't come till sometime, I think it was November. So I thought that was interesting. They've got to play through. I really think KU will be ready to play, okay? I said this, Randy, back when we were doing our Duke podcast. I said I really wanted to pick an upset, okay? I really wanted to pick KU over Duke. I felt that KU could have gone there and competed, and they did. I mean, Kansas was in that game for quite a while. So
absolutely, they were.
You know, and I get those same feelings against Tech, you know, but when you look at the scoreboard, when Kansas played Duke, you look at the final and you think, God, this wasn't close. Well, it was a lot closer than what the final score indicated. And I think those are just kind of measuring steps that Kansas is going through right now, playing more competitive games. And Leipold said this before the season, you know, you take games that you were blown out in, okay, and then you make those, instead of 49-7, okay, you make those 42-21 or 42-17. And then the games that you had played before that were 35-10, now you make those 28-21, 28-20, okay? Those type of scores, you shrink them down. So, you know, I'm looking for Kansas to keep this thing competitive. You know, homecoming, the kids are coming off the bye week. They're going to have some energy. You know, hopefully there's a good crowd there. The weather's supposed to be beautiful, 65 and sunny. I don't think you can ask for any better football weather than that. So I think Kansas is going to play well. I think they'll find ways to move the ball. It's just going to come down to can the defense get some stops, maybe some turnovers. Listen, last year in Lubbock, all right, I mean, these guys play some weird games, all right? In Lubbock last year, it's a, 16-13 final, and the game was there for Kansas to take. The year before, Kansas gets the weird lateral fumble that the Texas Tech returner threw on the ground and then kicks the field goal at the end to win it. These guys play weird games. I remember going back even a few years before that, where they went to double overtime down in Lubbock. Going into the game, Texas Tech couldn't stop the run. Charlie Weiss and his staff put in the triple option, okay? They put in the option. In 1 week, they install it, and they go down there and run for like 300 yards. So Kansas and Tech play some weird games. They really do. I can't go with the upset right now, okay, but I do think it'll be a competitive game, and I think KU is getting better. I think they're improving. I'm going to go Texas Tech 34, Kansas 24. How about you?
You basically just took my prediction, John. I was sitting here thinking.
That's amazing because we've been kind of far off this year.
Yeah, I was going to – my number, I was said I was going to go 35-24. So – gosh, we basically see this one playing out the same way. I think that I'm like you. I look at this and I see the matchup being one that Kansas can hang with. I think eventually Texas Tech's size becomes too much of an issue. That's one thing that I think Kansas's offensive line has struggled with this year. You know, like you talked about some of the size they have on their defensive front. And if there's one thing we know, it's that Texas Tech, no matter how bad things get, they're going to reach back on their bench and they're going to pull some quarterback from West Texas out of there that will absolutely throw the hell out of the ball and just go up and down the field in that offense like they always have. It's not the old Texas Tech that had, Heisman Trophy candidates, a quarterback or anything like that, but I still feel like they're gonna be able to move the football. I think Kansas has a chance. They'll hang in this one, and I think they hang in it longer than they did against Duke. I mean, I think they're in this game, and it's close, and it's competitive potentially. You know, midway through the fourth quarter, I think eventually the Red Raiders pull away just because of experience and depth, but I think it'll be a good showing on homecoming for the Jayhawks. I'm like you. I don't see them being able to pull this one out just yet, but they're making progress. Well, we've talked about the game. Kirby, I know you've been posting a lot of updates, and you've been almost giddy in your Twitter posts talking about, you know, everything that's going on about players entering the portal and the potential changes that could come to scholarship numbers and how this is the brave new world that we're really entering in college football. You've said all along the portal's going to be a big deal. what's going on right now that Kansas fans need to maybe have their eye on?
Yeah, Randy, I don't know if there's any specific players right now that we can sit here and point to and say, you know, Kansas is targeting these guys or X amount of players right now, but they're going to, okay? I mean, mm-hmm. if you listen to Rob Iannello, who was on last week on Hawk Talk, I mean, he basically laid it out there. There's going to be players that leave, okay? They don't know who they are yet, but they're going to come. And it's players are going to leave every program in the country. So the transfer portal, every week for me, I keep saying it's going to be big and it's going to be a factor, but every week that it comes down and we start inching closer to the end of the season, more guys enter the portal. I mean, we're seeing it left and right. I mean, we're seeing 5, 6, 7, 10 guys sometimes a day enter the portal across the country right now. So, you know, this is going to be very interesting, Randy, because I think Kansas is going to hit the portal. And it could be, and I don't want to say just portal, I mean portal or possible transfers like junior college players as well. And they can afford to do that, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, I counted up, they've got 56 players right now who I have on scholarship who are redshirt sophomores or younger in the program right now. Now, keep in mind, those players all get a COVID year back, all right? So when I say 56 redshirt sophomores or younger, that means those players are eligible to be that same classification next year, because they all get a COVID year back. That's not listed on the official sites on KU or the Big 12, that extra COVID year. They're listed as their real year, so people need to remember they get that year back. All right, now, junior college players get the same thing, okay? So a lot of junior college players that you go out and recruit that are 3x2, which means you have 3 years of eligibility to play 2 years, meaning you have a red shirt or a year that you can sit out. Or they're 2x2. Those are your most frequent, your most common junior college players when you go back and look at the past. But now that these junior college players get a COVID year back, there are a lot of players out there who are 3x3 or 4x3. Matter of fact, most of them are. Then the fact is they had an extra year of schooling, which means a lot of them are going to be eligible to leave in December. So, you know, Kansas football fans, I think, have a negative connotation of what junior college football players are because they've seen some years where they've taken a lot of bad junior college guys or they didn't pan out, and then the junior college scholarship numbers got in trouble and the roster got out of whack. We've seen that happen several times. So this is not the typical situation in which Kansas fans remember junior college players and transfer. There is a time to do it, and I think the time to do it for Kansas is right now, because with so many young guys in the program who still qualify for an extra COVID year, they can go out and get players who can come in, help balance the roster. You know, you go get a junior college player who's maybe been in a junior college program for 2 years now, and they've been lifting, they've been playing stronger and more mature football players, and they may be more physically ready to help you out. So I think this is a good year to do it. I think that they will look that route for some of the spots. You know, they're never going to neglect high school football players. And I've said this before, Randy, 2023, next year, that is going to be the big high school class for this staff, okay? They came in. They came in here, Leipold was hired April 30th. His staff wasn't even here till May. They are behind in 2022, okay? It's just the way the game is. They've missed out on a big window that they could have been building relationships with a lot of 2022 players, which you're seeing them do that right now with 2023. You're seeing them offer a lot of 2023 guys, and those guys are on campus. So I just, you know, The biggest fear you have with the portal, Randy, is you lose Caron Prunty and you lose Dejon Terry and you lose Marcus Harris, okay? Those are guys that you signed, you evaluated, you developed them, and then they leave for what some people would say bigger, better programs, okay? And then your fear is when you lose kids like that, can you replace them with the type of player that left? And you know, that's always going to be a catch-22. So that's one of the fears with the portal with me. But I think this is a time where Kansas can evaluate their roster. The coaches can see over these next six, seven games. What is going on? Where they need to go in the portal? You know, they might look at it and go, God, we got to go get three linebackers. They could say, we got to go get a tight end. They could say, we need a running back. Okay. But they're going to have time here over these next several games to make those decisions. And I think this is the year you can go do this and it's not going to hurt you.
Now, just as excited, maybe even more so than you've been kind of looking ahead to the portal and some of the things that could be, you know, materializing that could benefit the Kansas Jayhawks. You've been posting and talking a lot about a really large contingent of recruits that could be visiting or that will be visiting this Saturday. Your latest guess, you said we could be looking at nearly 100 college football prospects coming to Lawrence this weekend to watch the Jayhawks on homecoming take on Texas Tech. Tell me about this recruiting weekend. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, Randy, at first, I said when I first started getting the numbers and just hearing things, I thought it might be around 50. But now I'm definitely thinking it's going to be 100, and it could, it could get over 100. Now, this is a weekend. Now, keep in mind, not everybody's a scholarship player, okay?
Of course.
But I'll tell you what I think you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of 2023 kids. Mm-hmm. You're going to see some 2024 guys, okay? This gives the staff a chance to see the kids in person, all right? You've watched that kid on huddle. You go, God, hey, he looks pretty good. Is he really 6'2"? Is he really 6'1"? Is he really 250 pounds? You know what I'm saying? So it gives them a chance to eyeball some of the guys they've never had a chance to. It gets all these kids up. It gets them around the coaches. It gets them a chance to watch a KU football game. And, people, when they hear the word 100, the number 100 recruits, keep in mind, they're all not going to be players, okay? But this does not hurt KU to get this many guys up here. And you don't never know what kid's going to develop. You never know who you're going to...
Exactly.
You don't know who you're going to end up maybe offering a preferred walk-on to. Man, there is nothing wrong with bringing this many kids up. So I think it's a good weekend to showcase the program. And, I'm going to follow it. I'll know more here Friday through the weekend. I can tell you this, just before the podcast here, I talked to Joey Baker, who's the offensive lineman committed from South Lake Carroll. He will take his official visit this weekend. It's great talking to him because, Randy, this is his bye week at South Lake Carroll. So he's like, I got to take my visit to KU now because my plan is it's to be playing as Texas State Championship, okay? Which means that takes him all the way through the December visit time and exactly. Past the early signing day. So he could be playing football and the early signing period is over and he would never have a chance to make it up here. And, South Lake Carroll, if you look at the polls, most everybody has him between top 10 and top 15 in the country. So he's the starting left tackle on one of the premier high school football programs in America. So he'll be there. Just some names, some that I think the fans would recognize. Caleb Purdy, I put this one up the other day, who's committed. He's also planning on bringing Christian Gray, who is a four-star corner. Will Ancio from Capen, he'll be in. He is a tight end. A big, good-looking, athletic kid, basketball player too. Mom and dad, KU people, comes from a KU family. He's a key target now. I mean that for that 2023 class, man. It's if you talk about a guy that there's a little bit of pressure to get. I think that would be one, and he's got a lot of other people calling him too. So Tyler Gant, defensive tackle from Missouri, will be there. And like I said, I'm looking at about. Oh, I think it's going to be over 100. I think I'll have a better idea maybe sometime Friday night into Saturday morning, but I think it's going to be a big weekend, man.
Awesome. That's exactly what we want to hear. As somebody that as I love following recruiting just like you do, so it's exciting to hear the names, and I'm looking forward to seeing just who we can expect on the sidelines in Memorial Stadium on Saturday. That wraps it up for this edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. John Kirby and I got you all ready and primed for the homecoming Saturday matchup with the Texas Tech Red Raiders. We talked about the transfer portal. We talked about the potentially more than 100 high school recruits that could be visiting this Saturday. if you're there, if you're in Memorial Stadium, be sure those kids get loud. Let them hear you. Let them know that you want to see them in Lawrence. For my man, John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant Podcast. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.